This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Ah, motherhood. 1 minute, you're mom of the year.
I love you, mommy.
Then the next? Not so much. From bath time to bullying, from potty training to puberty, parenting is full of challenges. But one thing is for certain, you are not alone. Welcome to Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, author, mother, parenting expert, Tara Clark. Join me while we tackle today's modern mom problems. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Modern Mom Probs. I am your host, Tara Clark. And you know, here on Modern Mom Probs, we try to solve the world's modern mom problems, but if we can't, at least we're having fun talking about them. And today I'm excited about this host because Erica and I haven't connected in a few years, and it's always nice to revisit with people that you haven't seen in a while. Today's guest is Erica Josa. She's the founder of MomWell. You may know her on Instagram. And our topic is going to be the default parent dilemma, strategies for shifting dynamics. Erica Josa is a registered psychotherapist, a much sought-after maternal mental health specialist, and founder of the wellness company MomWell. Her popular podcast, MomWell, has over 1 million downloads. Erica is a regular contributor to publications such as the Toronto Star, Scary Mommy, and Medium. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like we haven't connected or I haven't seen you in, I don't even know. I feel like it's been years in the IG world that I haven't, I know.
No, you're time goes right. It's crazy because I was actually just saying this to someone earlier. I was like, oh, she and I did an Instagram live maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. No, it had to have been more than 4 because that was the pandemic. Like at least 5 years ago.
I'm like, was it a live? Was it a podcast? I don't know. I know that we connected, like, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, this was pre-podcast, before either of us had podcasts. It was an Instagram live, and I think you were just getting started with your account. So this was, 5, 6 years ago?
2019, 2020, somewhere in that range. Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that wild?
It's so good to see you.
I know. Nice to see you, too. So, like, what's new? What's going on? I know you have a new book out, so tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun and exciting things going on. So we were Happy as a Mother, probably, the last time that I was on. That was the platform name. And I don't know if you found this, but I went to school to be a psychotherapist. I didn't go to school to be a content creator, and I didn't really know what I was doing getting into the social media world. And then all of a sudden, this really organic platform grew as I started to talk about my own postpartum depression and anxiety and how that impacted me, how high risk we are for onset of mental health challenges when we're transitioning into motherhood. And my platform just really evolved, and I kind of organically stumbled upon a gap in care for mothers and their mental health that hadn't been highlighted or flagged before. So I just had all of these referrals inbound, and there's these care deserts out there everywhere where it's hard to access specialized support. So we actually rebranded and relaunched as MomWell about a year ago now, and we are a full-fledged maternal mental health platform, rolling out our therapy services across Canada, but also the US, launching in California, New York, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Florida in the next like 8 weeks or so. And we hope to get in network and really lower the barriers to access to care for moms. So that's the business side of what's been going on for us, really trying to figure out how we can steward our community and fill a gap in care for mothers that is just so necessary. And then with the platform brought the book, Releasing the Mother Load, because I have an Invisible Load series that shares every Saturday. It's one of the first viral things the platform really became known for. And I've taken that and put it in book form where I can really explore how we got into carrying the invisible load. Why us? Why not partners? Why not dads? And doing some of the deep unpacking of expectations societally that have been placed on us to realize that this doesn't equal being a good mom carrying this load. So yeah, that's the Coles notes of where we're at these days.
Yeah. Well, congratulations about the expansion, because that is phenomenal. Congratulations on the book, because that's also phenomenal. I read through it and I think it's fantastic. So I want to piggyback on one thing you were saying, is that I'm sort of just jumping in, but I'll go ahead and do it anyway, is why us? How did that happen?
Of course. Yeah. This is something that I feel like I just had a profound revelation about one day. I write about it in the book as an aha moment, and it's really developed since then. But I had my sort of breakthrough in my third postpartum after my third son was born. And I was just drowning. I was drowning in postpartum depression, anxiety. I was drowning in trying to be the perfect mom. I was drowning in trying to have all the Pinterest-worthy things and live up to all the expectations. And it just broke me down. And I let go of the perfectionism and started to become curious about what am I facing? What is going on here? And in that curiosity, I came across what I call my aha moment, where I was sort of awakened, or my eyes were open to all of the invisible pieces that I carry. And I didn't even realize in a lot of ways that I expected myself to fill a lot of these roles. So when we think about why us or invisible labor, I had this invisible backpack that I got given when I became a mom, and then I had another son and I got another one, and then I had another son and got another one, and felt all this heaviness and all of this weight, but couldn't articulate it or explain it. So there's a few different pieces here, but I think partially society expects us to fill this role. We expect ourselves to fill these default roles to be a good mom. And we just don't really know that there's another way, to unsubscribe or come off of that autopilot direction for ourselves.
Yeah, we sort of get on that train and we stay on the train unless we really hit the brakes and say, I want off this train right now. There has to be a different way.
Right. That's exactly it. It's this is a train called, Path to Good Motherhood. This is what we need to do. And I talk about it in the book as being this junk drawer filled with all the messages we've ever seen or internalized about being a good mom. So in my drawer, for example, was I had to keep a really clean, spotless house. My mom was very, particular about the house. And I need to cook homemade meals. And I need to do all of these things that weren't put in there by me and weren't weighed against my value system. So when I stepped into motherhood, I'm grasping at straws to define myself in my role to know that I'm doing a good job. But when this drawer that we're looking to is so filled with junk mail and missed messages at odds messaging, that it just feels chaotic. You're pulled in a million different directions and feel like you're not pleasing or living up to anybody's expectations, let alone my own.
Yeah, I love the analogy of a junk drawer. Mine has so much crap in it. I have a hard time shoving it in. There's wires and pencils and tape and scissors and notes and I don't know, stamps, just everything. But you're right. When your brain is sort of functioning on that track, it leads to such a great parallel. So I think that was a great analogy.
Yeah, thank you. I think that it's just we don't know that we need to sort through it, or we try to sort through it, but we just organize the junk that's there rather than taking out the things that need to be shredded and need to be tossed. And really, my book is walking you through and guiding you through how do we toss out these expectations that we hold that make us think we need to be perfect, that make us think that we are the ones, that have to carry this invisible load or should be defaulted into it. And how do we let some of that go? And also, how do we make this invisible labor visible to others around us so that they can see it and contribute and take ownership over it? We can't really divide out or share something that we have a hard time even articulating or seeing for ourselves. And it's tricky because these are the little things that we feel like we're kind of expected to do in our role, and they get minimized and invalidated. So we have actually a load map that helps you make that visible. And I pre-fill them in the book so that I can do some of that labor for you so that you're not having to do it all yourself. And then also have a digital download where you can take your own load map and fill it in for anything that's not covered in the book as a starting point of making this invisible backpack, kind of taking it off and piece by piece, taking out tasks and examining them of what did I put my name on and want in this bag and sign up for to carry versus what was I subscribed to just because I'm a woman or I am in the mother role, and what can my partner take on or my support system and things like that. So,
yeah. I think that, you know, you hit on two really important things. One is the perfectionism that we feel as mothers. And then the second one is incorporating your partner. So what I've noticed, and I've been a parent now for 11 years, so I've been a mom for a while, that once you shed that perfectionism, and of course it may not go away altogether, but once you start to shed some of that skin, you realize how freeing it is for you to be the type of parent that you want to be, the type of parent that can connect with their child truly, authentically, for yourself and for them. And that, I think, is the key. So if I could ever say, you know, advice to people of like, Tara, you know, what would do you suggest parents to do is, one, shed the societal expectations, if you can. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not going to go away to zero, like I said, but it doesn't have to be at the level 100 that you feel when you become a new parent. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real major starting point.
Well, I think that we feel so badly that we want to be a good mom. We want to do things right. I hear this a lot. We want to do things the right way. But we don't realize that there is no one linear right way. And when you actually examine all of the messages that you've shoved into that junk drawer, they are from all kinds of different perspectives, walks of life, values, cultural beliefs, religious beliefs. Like, there is just so many ways to mother. So if we don't have a clear anchor or guidepost or compass on our journey, we are pulled in a million different directions. And so the third chapter in the book is anchoring you in your values. What does it mean to be a good mom to me? Not what everybody else has told me and what I've observed in my mother or my mother-in-law or my grandma, but what does that mean to me? And then how do I take that criteria and shred everything else that doesn't align with it? Because that I don't have to carry. Somebody else values that, and that's okay, but I don't have to value that and I don't have to carry it. And like you said, the most freeing realization that we can have, that we can do this our own way and we're not letting anybody down. They just have different values than we do. And it's not about being right or wrong or more perfect in our role.
This episode is brought to you by Modern Mom Style Box. Upgrade your wardrobe and enjoy unlimited styles for just $60 a month. Modern Mom Style Box is the first rental clothing subscription designed exclusively for moms and moms-to-be. Get started today with a free trial. Use promo code PTO.
Yeah, and also, they can evolve over time. When my son was a toddler, I was obsessed with making sure that he ate organic blueberries and all super healthy, organic, fresh from the farm food. And now, it's not such a priority for me. I want him to obviously eat healthy food and get nutrition, but it's not all consuming like it was when he was younger. Now he eats, I don't know, all kinds of junk, but mm-hmm. and that's just real talk, right? Like he'll of now course. He eats like goldfish and Doritos and, you know, French fries and all kinds of stuff because I just want him to eat and I want him to get calories. And of course he gets nutritious food as well. So don't get me wrong on that one. I'll start to get like hate mail of like, why don't you feed your child healthy food? I'm like, I do. But it's not the obsession that it was when he was an infant and a toddler. So my point is that sometimes your values can change and shift, especially as your children grow up and you start to learn more about them and they develop into their own people.
It's such a good example of what we think makes us a good mom, you know, air quotes, versus the things according to our values that actually make us a good mom. So there's a whole chapter in the book about food and what it is that we are trying to accomplish with homemade meals. Is it like acts of service? Is it thoughtfulness? Is it love? Is it nutrition and fuel to our body? Like, what is it? Oftentimes when I talk to people about their relationship with food or their experiences with food and mealtime growing up, you hear a lot of like, well, it was just TV and we were disconnected. So I always want to have these connected present moments. Or, you know, like it was always homemade because my mom just loved this. And really what you hear underneath it is there's a value there. There's a value for presence. There's a value for expression of like love and thoughtfulness. And that can be carried out in a multitude of ways. I don't have to cook you a homemade meal or a nutritionally balanced meal every single time to show you how much I care about you. And I also don't need to do it to prove to myself every day that I'm a good mom because I know that I value presence. And if I don't get to do that at this dinner time because we defaulted to tablets because everyone was squirrely crazy, I will value presence and we will reframe and package that at bedtime and get our moments in for the day. And it doesn't have to look any one particular way. So when we can separate our worth away from household and caregiving tasks, we can really tap into what is important to us as mothers and how we want to go about embodying that.
I think that's the single most important message there is.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. It's huge. And so now I'm going to go back to what we were talking about earlier is the default parent dilemma. You know, so much of this falls on us as mothers. But if we have partners, how can we bring our partners to share the load?
Yeah. It's so interesting because so often we think of motherhood as synonymous with like caregiving and household labor, right? Like really a lot of our images of what it means to be a good mom overlap with those tasks. And maybe that was appropriate when we were stay at home, didn't work outside of the home. Like in 1950s, only 25% of mothers worked outside of the home. Now, 86% of mothers work outside of the home. So it is not my full-time role anymore to be the one that cares for and takes care of the home. And even if it is, that is a 24/7 role that when our partner goes to and from work, like doesn't mean that they don't get to carry their weight in the home. So there's that historical context is just so important because we can't carry the expectations of previous generations and what motherhood looked like then into the reality of being a full-time working parent, possibly the primary breadwinner, and also be expected to still carry that other full-time role without support. And one thing I hear a lot is, you know, well, partners have come a long way. They are offering a lot of support and, you know, things are really shifting. And while that is true to a degree, the default parent dilemma is really about ownership over these tasks. So when the whole family and all the parents and all the adults are in the room, who does the caregiving default to? Or who does the grocery shopping or the meal planning or the tantrum soothing or the bath giving or the floor mopping default to and why, right? So really unpacking how we ended up having ownership over these tasks. Did we consciously discuss this with our partner? Were we defaulted into it because of our role? Because those defaults from previous sort of traditional gender norm generations don't hold now as we have to work full time outside of the home and have other things to also balance and juggle. So ownership and how you got ownership and was it consciously discussed or just assumed is a big part of unpacking this default parent dilemma.
Yeah. How can we shift that dynamic, though? I feel like it's sort of a game of hot potato and you like throw it to him. You're like, okay, not it.
Yeah. I think it comes back to the invisible load that we're talking about. If we don't know, so if we're just assigning the physical task, let's take a baby gate as an example. If I have researched all the baby gates and I've taken the measurements of this space and I have read all the reviews and talked to all the mom friends and looked for budget and price and coupons and all done all the things and then ordered it and just asked my partner to install it and told them exactly where it goes, they've really actually not eliminated or taken that much off of my plate because all of that invisible labor weighs so heavily on us. So making that invisible labor visible, so the anticipating, the researching, the planning, and then sort of the ongoing management now that that gate is installed and whether it needs maintenance or not and things, these are the things in the backpack that are hard to articulate that we need to load map out. And then when we can put it on paper and sit with our partner, we can then divide out and say, actually, this takes up such a chunk of my time. Can you research baby gates for me? But when we don't see how heavy it is and don't have it mapped out, it's so hard and abstract to put some boundaries around.
Yeah, it is. I think you're right. Like physically holding it, you know, I'm going to hold up your book right here. Like physically like holding something like that in your hand, having the, I'm holding this, but it says here, like the invisible load of feeding the household. And there's so many different things that go into it, more than just simply grocery shopping and then cooking the meal at the end of the day, you know? And so like physically looking and going, oh, I forgot about this. Oh, I forgot that we're worried about this. Oh, I forgot that I'm, you know, coping with the pressure to get kids to eat or juggling schedules for mealtimes in between practices or let's say, I'm trying to think, feeling the pressure to set a healthy food example. You know, there's so many things that weigh heavy that unfortunately is so often taken for granted.
Yeah, it really is. And we don't realize it because none of these one tasks in themselves is particularly heavy or hard, but them compiled with all the other invisible tasks that we carry, it's kind of like death by a thousand paper cuts kind of vibe where no one individual one is going to take us out, but carrying all of them is just leaving us drowning in plain sight. So being able to make it visible and have those conversations, make it visible for ourselves first, acknowledge it, unpack that backpack, know what it is that we've got going on that we're carrying that feels like it's too much, getting it down on paper. I help to do this for you. You can download the load maps alongside the book so that you don't have just another added thing on your plate. And then sitting down with your partner and talking it through because they likely don't realize all of what is in the, like underneath that iceberg of that task that you carry.
Yeah, iceberg. That's a good way to describe it. What do you think, Erica, is the biggest modern mom problem facing moms right now?
I definitely think that it's this expectation that we still like this whole like trad wife movement, like we need to like be the traditional wife, but like also society and the cost of living and the reality means that we often have to have two income households. Like that is a freaking problem, right? Like we cannot expect 100% of ourselves in both of those areas without our partners shifting in ownership within the home and within caregiving. And so I think that is a major problem and it impacts mental health and transition into motherhood as a result. And then we can resent our role if we're juggling all the things, right? And we just want to enjoy our little humans because they're so stinking cute.
They're so cute and we love them so much and we want to do what's best for them. And at the same time, we want to do what's best for ourselves.
Yeah. And those things don't have to be like mutually exclusive, you know, like we don't have to sacrifice ourselves in order to be good caregivers for them. So there's so much in the book that I'm just like, oh, this is like my love note to all the women out there. You know, like we can both enjoy our role and be good moms and not totally sacrifice ourselves in the process. Like, it's true that all of those things can coexist.
Yeah, they absolutely can. So, Erica, where can everyone get this beautiful book of yours, this beautiful love letter to all the moms?
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness. It's kind of like unreal to say, but anywhere books are sold. It pub date is on April 9th, but we're running a great pre-sale before that that has bonuses that you can also redeem. So lots of exciting things there. That's at ericajossa.com, D-J-O-S-S-A. And then beyond the book, if you are struggling with mental health or motherhood, I encourage you to check out our Instagram page and our platform, Momwell and momwell.com. We've got specialists to help support you transition into that role and process, you know, birth trauma and all the things that come with a rocky entrance into motherhood. So lots of free supports there as well.
It's so good. I love the work that you do. Thank you for doing the work that you do, Erica.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Modern Mom Probs. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive in today's problem with me, your host, Tara Clark. Join me next time when I'll be interviewing another great guest and tackling another modern mom problem. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating. As always, you could head over to Modern Mom Probs on Instagram and give me a follow, or check out my book, Modern Mom Probs, A Survival Guide for 21st Century Mothers, available online wherever books are sold. Well, that's it for today. See you next time, folks.